Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey now, Semper Fi. Welcome into this Tuesday edition of Sports Talk here on WWL. Along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, I'm Christian Garrick, Mark Menard at Master Control. Week 6 of the NFL season in the books. The Saints had their bye week. The Community Coffee Saints Radio Network featuring the Saints Hour with Executive Vice President and General Manager Mickey Loomis coming up at 7 o'clock. And we visited with Bill Polian, Bobby, one of the great minds, the great general manager and personnel guys I think that's ever held that post. He's a 2015 Pro Football Hall of Famer.
Yeah, he's an old USFLer. You look at, his experience, and obviously with the Buffalo Bills and then with the Colts.
He rebuilt the Panthers from scratch.
Right. Yeah, so he's been in different places at the highest level and gotten it done.
As Week 6 unfolded last night on Monday Night Football, well, before we get to the Dallas Cowboys, let's just have it, Mark. I mean, it's unraveling, and I couldn't take more pleasure at seeing the Cowboys just unravel. They got smoked by the Cardinals 38-10 on Monday Night Football. Dak or no Dak, this defense is horrible, and now players are starting to point the fingers at their coaches. Not a good sign. Jerry Jones is probably saying, man, I could have got this with Jason Garrett. I could have gotten better than this if I'd have kept Jason Garrett.
Well, how about them Cowgirls? I loved it. I end up watching the whole game just because, it's in their own backyard. And the Cardinals are an old division opponent. When you go...
Formerly, they used to play twice a year.
Yes. So... Jerry Jones is keeping that mask on even if nobody's around him.
Out of shame?
It's just like Christian. And then his son will come every now and then and chat with him, and it looks like he wants to say, like, get away from me. I'm not in a good mood right now. But the bottom line, they're in first place. Christian, you look...
That showed you how bad the NFC East is.
Since the merger right now, this is the first time at this point in the season... that you look at Dallas's record, that a team's in first place. Now, let's say whether it's the Eagles or Dallas or, let's say because they have a tie, the Eagles, it'd be the Eagles. They'd be 6-9-1. How can they host a playoff game? To me, if the NFL is trying to get it right and be fair, now understand you win your division, you're going to the playoffs. But as of right now, Dallas, since they in first place, would be hosting Green Bay. Wouldn't that make a difference, Green Bay with the better record, which we think is going to occur, that Dallas should have to go to Lambeau Field instead of them going to Dallas? That's why, to me, if you look at divisions and you look at the playoff picture, okay, you won your division, you're in the playoffs. Then it has to be somewhat where your record comes into play to be able to host. You can't. They need to put the competition committee. Sean Payton's part of that, and even if that was the Saints, Christian, if they were 7-9, and they win the NFC South at some time in the future, they shouldn't be hosting a game.
They can put a clause in there that if you don't finish above 500,
yes, exactly, you have to be at least 8-8 or above 500, you can host when you win the division. If you're below 500. No, you got to go on the road. I think that would just be fair.
It happened to the Saints in 2010. They traveled to Seattle. They were 7-9 that year. The Saints were 10-6. They ended up going to Seattle, losing the game, beast mode and all that good stuff. But it's happened in the Saints' history.
Well, I just think that you're rewarded for winning a division, but not necessarily hosting a playoff game. But, Christian, it doesn't surprise me. This is obviously the Saints not playing this weekend, and this is not good for the Saints. But this is going into the weekend, and we all know Atlanta ended up beating the Minnesota Vikings. That's probably the biggest surprise to me that they're 1-5 where they're at. But I thought this is not a good thing. You know how I've talked about the Saints' red zone defense, scoring defense. How about those chunk plays, you know, splash plays? You know, you want a team, even though whether it's high school, college, professional ball, everybody's scoring a lot of points. But it's like a shootout. For instance, I said this, I think, with Mike last night. Clemson and Georgia Tech, okay, it's an ACC game. Clemson had 50 points at halftime. They scored like 70. I mean, come on. So when I saw this, I can see why the Vikings in Dallas, you know, the splash chunk plays. Through five games, only Minnesota and Dallas have given up more passes of 30 or more yards this season. They've given up 10 by the Vikings, 9 by Dallas. Now, this is before the Cardinals game and the Vikings game with Atlanta, and the Saints not playing a game that have given up 8. The Saints have one of only 4 teams that have given up one such play in each of the first 5 games this season. So we want to, Christian, I'm confident we're about a 7.5-point favorite against Carolina. I think that's about right. But we've said this before, if they're Super Bowl or bust, shouldn't we beat Carolina? Come on, considering it's a division game. And then I think we should win at Chicago.
Now, Chicago's their defense is not great, very good, not great. But their offense doesn't scare anybody. They've only scored 30 points one time this year in a season where scoring is up. Most of the contenders, you look around the league, the Seattles, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Saints, and the AFC, the Bills, Titans, Chiefs, they're all average. They're all scoring right around 30 points a game.
Well, but the Bears, you know why they can get away with that? Because guess who's the number one red zone defense?
The Bears.
The Bears. And guess who's the worst red zone defense?
The Saints.
The Saints. So when you look at this, and Sean Payton, you know, they break down the film. You know, when you have the bye week, Christian, you scout yourself and you look where you're at. Coach Payton says, I think we're far enough now into the season that it's not a coincidence. The numbers aren't a coincidence. The negative numbers against the Saints, Coach Payton said. Inside the 20-yard line, allowing a touchdown at a staggering 85% rate. Chris, your bottom line, when teams get in the red zone, they're getting a touchdown. You know, you can give up first downs, but you got to force field goals. Where if you look at, Christian, for instance, that being the worst in the NFL, the Saints, it's nearly 50 percentage points worse than the league-leading Bears. Red zone defense only giving up 37%. So you might move the ball against the Bears. You get in the red zone, you only scoring a touchdown 37% of the time. And that's one reason why they're in first place right now, the Bears in the NFC North.
Speaking of divisions, we talked about the NFC East, right? But look at the NFC West. There's not a team in that division that's below 500. So in theory, you could have 2 teams from that division make the playoffs, but a third be above 500, not make the playoffs, and Dallas would or Philly could win their division sub 500.
Yeah, but I think we can't go that far because you could have a division winner in the NFC West and 2 wild cards. So right now you could have the Seahawks.
But if the 49ers
and the Rams the Cardinals, look where
right.
So you could have a team that has a better record than the Eagles or Dallas and not make it. I think we can't go that far, but I think that would be easily changed if you go, okay, you won your division, that has to count for something, and you're going to the playoffs, but you're not hosting. But that just goes to show, I thought maybe Carolina's better than we thought. I think Atlanta's not as good as maybe we thought because how they finished the season. Though they were 1-7, they beat and one at New Orleans and one at San Francisco. I thought realistically coming into the season that you could have 3 teams out of the NFC South make the playoffs. You know, let's say we win the division, Tampa Bay and Atlanta. Well, Christian, I'm telling you, I'm so glad we beat Tampa Bay that first time around. But right now I'm expecting us beat Carolina, beat Chicago, then at Tampa's going to be a challenge. Now, it'd be interesting to see if we can have a home field with the 49ers coming to town, if we can have some fans then. So have you found anything about they're allowing fans besides family?
There's been discussions today about the mayor's office not being comfortable with 25% capacity, but maybe there's a sweet spot. Maybe there's a sweet spot somewhere.
So maybe half, let's say half of 15,000, half of 20,000, say 7,000, 500, 10,000.
Roughly. Hopefully we'll talk about the Buccaneers next after they drubbed the previously unbeaten Green Bay Packers 38-10. This is Sports Talk here on WWL. Look at it as kind of a snapshot, a Week 7 snapshot of the NFL. We'll get to the Saints and Panthers matchup for this Sunday. But I watched a lot of football this weekend, Bobby, and, man, that Tampa Bay game against Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, that looked a lot like Aaron Rodgers did in the NFC Championship game against the 49ers back in January. And the headlines in Tampa are all about Tom Brady, but they should be about that defense. Lavonte Davis and Devin White are going to be big problems.
And then you look at, about Ndamukong Suh? Was that Aaron Donald? Because
right.
You know he has that ability. You light a fire under him. But I liked it, because they go back when Ndamukong Suh was with the Lions, and they're talking trash to each other. Hey, Christian, you see one time, that's why it's so much different how they hit the quarterback than back in the day. I'm like the old man, get off my lawn. You see one time, he just like, and he sacked him.
Shoved him?
He just shoved him.
Yeah.
In the old days, you know what he did? He just shoved him and then landed on top of him.
Yeah.
And with all that weight and stuff. Now, obviously, we want the quarterbacks to play. But, boy, he was giving him the business. That's why I'm telling you, the second time around, Tampa Bay is going to be a completely different team than we played him in Week 1.
Is Tampa's front that good, or is the Packers' offensive line?
Well, why was the Packers blocking everybody else, but they didn't block Tampa? I mean, but when they,
they handled New Orleans pretty well.
Yes,
they had other rushes pretty well.
Well, and this is without I can't think of his name who took Vita Vey's place. You know, they put Vita Vey, the run stuffer, in the middle alongside Ndamukong Suh. They put him on injured reserve. So Christian, when you look at their defense. And we're going to play them after Carolina, back-to-back games. We got the Bears on the road, and we're going to have Tampa Bay on the road. When you say arguably, along with the Steelers, who's the top three defense right now? I would say Steelers, Bears, and Tampa Bay, if you look at the production and how they that intimidating.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I would agree with all that. All right.
You got breaking news, Chris?
I do. WWL is the flagship station of the Saints and home games of LSU Sports. Keep it locked here for breaking news about the black and gold and purple and gold powered by Radio.com Sports, brought to you by Indeed. If you need a hire, you need Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. So learn more at Indeed.com/credit. The New Orleans Saints, in partnership with Mayor LaToya Cantrell, have agreed to a phased and deliberate pilot approach allowing fans to attend Saints games and the Mercedes-Benz Superdome beginning this weekend's game against the Carolina Panthers.
But how many? I mean, that's what the fans want to know. I mean, okay, we give breaking news and the Saints are going to put that out there. People want to know how many. Can I be in that number? How did they go about the process?
Hold on, I'm getting more information here. Hold on.
Okay, because the process, how can I be in that number? Who do they pick?
Okay, so as I'm understanding this, season ticket holders will have access to 3,000 tickets that will be distributed for the October 25th Carolina game to be played at noon central. Barring any change in local and health safety guidelines, any additional changes to crowd size are only possible if current trends continue to remain stable. Then and only then will capacity increase to 6,000 fans for both the November 15th San Francisco 49ers game and November 22nd game against the Atlanta Falcons. Capacity would then increase to 15,000 for the December 20th Kansas City and December 25th Minnesota home games. Again, barring any major change in local health and safety guidelines.
So it's a gradual process.
Yes.
So I can tell you right now, if you have the opportunity to go to game and you're in that number, let's say 3,000, then it goes to 6,000. Just stay home and have a party at your house or watch it on TV if you're not going to cheer. We need to have – did you notice that was a lot more fans in Tampa in that Packers game? They were loud. The Chiefs fans were loud. If you, the 3,000 and you end that number, socially distance and yell so you can't, if you you can't spread anything, whatever. Just be loud. Don't be looking at your phone. Don't see, well, I wonder who's in the stands and all that. Be a truly Who Dat Nation member, because that's what Sean Payton and the team needs. They need that fire. And if it's 3,000, eventually 6,000, hopefully it goes up, that is not a social event. No, it's almost, as a member of Who Dat Nation and supporting your team, you got to be loud and proud. You have to cheer. If you don't want to cheer, stay home and watch the game. You can watch all the games on TV or do whatever. No, we need fans. We need fans that are foaming at the mouth. We don't like they have rabies or something. We need them just like foaming and being loud.
Well, we don't want too much foam with masks on.
Well, just the bottom line is that you should be hoarse and not because of COVID. My throat's hurting.
Right.
Because I'm yelling and supporting my home team.
Can 3,000 people really have that much of an impact?
Yeah, if you got 3,000 crazy Who Dat Nation members yelling and screaming, hell yeah. I would say you probably, I take back, I would say maybe 12 plus that you
can
3,000,
I venture a guess you'd have a hard time getting above 80 decibels.
So that'd be interesting to see, though, that you still, do you still have piped-in crowd noise because you are the home team with only 3,000 fans? So then the question is, what is going to be louder? Just family members and no fans and the piped-in noise? Are 3,000 fans and no piped-in noise?
Here's what you're missing, Bobby. You usually catch everything, but it's the energy. It's not about noise. It's about energy. The players feed off the energy more so than the crowd. The crowd certainly gives them an advantage in pass rush, et cetera, but it's the energy that the players feed off of. And even if it's 3,000 people worth of energy, that's a positive for the Saints.
Yeah, it's a positive, but to me, just don't go watch the game. If you're just going to go watch the game, stay home and watch it. You got to cheer. And Saints fans, I mean, if you're a football fan, you know when to cheer.
Yeah.
And listen, we love Teddy Bridgewater. He did great things in a Saints uniform, 5-0. But when they're on offense, try and be disruptive. At least put the effort. Because, you know, we say that's one thing that's kind of been missing. You look kind of, God, I don't know, the Saints, they look average, maybe a little above average. But they don't look amongst the best right now. You just look at their record. And the Who Dat Nation, the fan base, we really think we make a difference. And I think we do as far as supporting the team. That's why Sean Payton basically said, no, I'd rather play at LSU and Tiger Stadium than in the Dome if we're going to have fans or no fans. Because they're fan supported. Like you said, how the players feed off that energy.
He's Bobby. I'm Christian. If you're just joining us, Mayor LaToya Cantrell, in partnership with the New Orleans Saints, have agreed to a phased and deliberate pilot approach allowing fans to attend Saints games in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome beginning this week against the Carolina Panthers. And it's going to have 3,000 season ticket holders. And then if conditions stay the same, they'll gradually phase in more fans as the season goes along. He's Bobby. I'm Christian. This is Sports Talk here on WWL. Bobby, getting a lot of text questions about how the Saints going to decide the 3,000 season ticket holders. And they're working through that right now. And they're going to disseminate a season ticket holder letter that'll determine exactly how 3,000 season ticket holders are going to have their opportunity to be in the stands starting this Sunday against the Carolina Panthers.
Well, I still think it's a bunch of BS. The Saints might get mad at me, whatever. So what? I mean, you're trying to have a home field advantage. 3,000 people in the Superdome versus, let's say, 20-plus thousand in Tiger Stadium, let's say 20 to 25,000. Hello? To me, that's why. Now, you could say from a logistical standpoint, because the kickoff's at 12 noon, and when are we playing South Carolina? Isn't it like 6 o'clock or something? Is that too quick of a turnaround? How are you trying to clean everything and then – So what is the forecast even for Saturday night?
I don't know.
Is it rain or whatever?
I don't think so.
Because, you know, field conditions. So you look at field conditions and how could you go about it the right way and when you got to change from one venue, that being a college football game, to an NFL game, and the protocol as far as the cleanliness and how they got to get that. So I could see how that could come into play. But you cannot tell me that that's a home field advantage, 3,000 versus 25,000 or 20 to 25,000 in Tiger Stadium.
What I don't understand is last week we heard the mayor talk about a fixed roof. You know, no stadiums with fixed roofs have held fans in the stands. Why all of a sudden is she coming off that and at that number? Why is 3,000 the magic number? I mean, other dome stadiums that have played games with the roof closed have hosted more fans than 3,000.
Well, Christian, I'm glad you brought that up, because if you look at it, the Falcons had basically 7,000 fans on Sunday. Now, this is way back, you know, when they had hosted Carolina Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Then the Colts, in week three, they had the Jets, and there was like right around 8,000 fans. So if you look at a true five fixed-roof stadiums in the NFL, Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas, SoFi Stadium in Los Angeles, Ford Field in Detroit, U.S. Bank Stadium in Minneapolis, and the Superdome. But some stadiums with retractable roofs have been admitting fans with the roofs still closed. So you look in Dallas. You know, Dallas has its roof closed during the week. They had, and then when they played the Giants and allowed 25,000 fans. You look at the Texans. I want to say they had over 12,000 fans. So I don't know. I guess it depends on the jurisdiction of how, you know, city to city or state to state what comes about. But this is a good text right here, Christian. And I think, you know how we have a festival every weekend, whether it's fall, winter, spring, or summer. This is a good text right here. This is from 5147. Now, I don't necessarily agree with this description. I mean, maybe instead of LaToya, they said the bigger reason La Destroya. So, you know, it's got name calling, but he goes, a bigger reason, let me see right here, I'm losing this, but it says a bigger reason that, oh, I lost it, Christian.
I got a text for you. I got a text for you. Basically saying, I'm a season ticket holder, I vote for LSU. Well, I understand that, but what the Saints are trying to do is give the city of New Orleans a little bit of an economic shot in the arm that's much needed considering the pandemic and what it's lost in tourism dollars. So the Saints are trying not to, although they certainly want their fan base to stretch well beyond Baton Rouge, but they're based out of New Orleans, and they want to give the economic impact to New Orleans, not Baton Rouge.
Yeah, well, I have it right here, too. A bigger reason La Destroya does not want to allow any more fans than she has to fear of litigation. You need to look at all of the October cancellation of festivals and other mass gatherings of people. Imagine those festivals organized and owners seeing her allow tens of thousands of fans in the dome, or let's just say 15, 17,000, whatever. So could that come into play also? You know, and other NFL cities probably aren't dealing with that. Because, you know, Christian, there's a festival here every weekend.
Sure.
There's something going on within New Orleans, the city.
James in New Orleans. What's going on, James? You're on WWL.
Hey, listen, guys. This is the first time in a long time I actually got the chance to watch football without LSU and the Saints on the schedule. So I actually read an article that said they're predicting the Saints – they're predicting us to make the playoffs, but with a 9-7 record. I would be floored with the teams I'm looking at the schedule. We ended up 9-7. The only team I think that we will have you could make a case for us losing right now would be Kansas City. Everyone else, I think we got a good chance of beating. But
watch out for Tampa.
My question. Listen, I think we could still listen. All right, so here's the thing. I was also read another article that said the free agency period is coming up some kind of way, and they mentioned Marcus Davenport potentially being traded for garbage like a corner, not that we don't need one, a safety, a linebacker. I would hate that. I think that would be like the worst move since the guy that just got fired from the Texans.
James, a lot of this is spurred by the NFL trade deadline is 2 weeks away, and a lot of people need content for their websites and content on social media, so they'll drum up these, hey, here's some possible scenarios that only they are really considering, more so than perhaps the Saints, or name your team.
Yeah,
but wait a minute, guys. But here's a guy that I think that I just want you guys' opinion. You know, the Texans are undefeated right now. They lost their left tackle. Dallas, believe it or not, they suck like that. But they
wait, did you say the Texans are undefeated?
No, not the Texans. Who are
the Steelers?
Tennessee.
Oh, the Titans.
Right, the Titans. They're the same to me, anyways. But at any rate, they're undefeated. And Dallas is still in the race, even though they're terrible right now. Dallas lost the best offensive guard potentially in the league. And the Texans lost.
What you driving at, James? What you driving at?
Andres Peak. Let's get rid of him. Let's get something for him.
They just paid him a ton of money. It's not gonna happen. The cap hit would be too severe.
You don't think they would take his? They wouldn't take his money and roll.
If they didn't like Andres Peake, they wouldn't have given him the payday they gave him this offseason.
But he's not worth it. Look at it. He's not worth the money, man. I mean, he's just not.
Okay,
worth
but they
it.
Can't
he
trade.
Him
they're
money?
Not going to trade him, James,
because of the cap hit.
I mean, you might have that opinion. I don't agree with your opinion about Andres Peake. I think at times, speed rushers inside give him problems. But I think in the running game, he's darn near dominant.
Now, he does get nicked up.
Sure.
That we don't like necessarily at times.
Sure, so does Marcus Davenport. So do a few players. Look, James.
But wait, what was he saying? He said, for sure he sees the Saints 9-7.
Well, that was an article that he read, the Saints at 9-7.
Well, that's unacceptable. If you're going to be Super Bowl or bust, Christian, and I'm realistic here, and I know how hard it is to win an NFL. 10 wins, that should be the bottom. Now we
it's
look
the basement.
At the basement. You look at last year, 13 wins. I said, I don't know if that can, is going to come about. But 10 wins. Look, getting off to maybe a slow start, not the start that we thought. But it's one more victory or defeat. But 11-5, and I still think 10-6, depending on Holland and Foles, is still a productive season. But then what do you do in the playoffs? But 9-7, even if you got. To the playoffs at 9-7, no, that's unacceptable. Considering we were talking about Super Bowl or bust, we were in training camp in August.
It wasn't just us saying that.
National perspective.
It was the players. It was Teron Armstead, day one of training camp. Said it's Super Bowl or bust. Period.
And Drew Brees said, "I came back to win the championship."
Yeah, so it's the internal expectation, not just the external expectation. If you're just joining us, check out our website at WWL.com. Phased and deliberate approach to returning Who Dat Nation to the Superdome. The Saints announced that. Right now, 3,000 fans can be in attendance, for Sunday's noon kickoff against the Carolina Panthers. He's Bobby. I'm Christian. This is Sports Talk here on WWL. Back here on Sports Talk, if you're just joining us, the Saints will have 3,000 fans in the stands this Sunday when they host the Carolina Panthers. For more on the deliberate and phased reopening of the Superdome, check out our website at WWL.com. Bobby, what gets you on the text line?
Yeah, looking at this, Christian, I don't know, maybe you might know more about this and operating costs and all that. The Dome and Saints need like 20,000. This is from 5147. The Dome Saints need like 20,000 to meet operating costs of having the Dome open for a game. They're going to lose even more money by opening the Dome to only have 3,000 fans.
Sort of right when you consider the state general fund having to supplement and augment, the operations. Just like when they hadn't played five home games now, two in
right.
the preseason and three regular season games, that the general fund for Louisiana was taking a hit because of them having to operate the Dome off of that.
So could that be when LaToya, when Mayor Cantrell was complaining about the resources that she's looking for, basically $30 million more to get what it was like 50-some million coming to New Orleans, but she wanted 80-something million, right on the $90 million, my understanding, because of the first responders.
The first responders in terms of who pays for those?
Who does?
The Saints do. They pay for those at games.
Well, the mayor's office has been putting that out there about the first responders.
And the Saints pay for that.
So
all 200 plus.
So you think right now the feasibility of the operating costs And you need like 20,000 and only having 3,000. Is that, like you said, coming from the state and not necessarily the city?
As I understand it, it would come from the state general fund.
So John,
that hurts the whole state, not just New Orleans.
So John Bel Edwards would be maybe a big part of putting those resources to help the Saints and have fans in the Superdome?
Well, yeah, but again, it's the mayor that's running the city, not John Bel Edwards. He's running the state, and he can't override.
Well, we've lost we're losing enough money. So if this, I don't know if this texter is correct. You never know. 51-47, that they're going to lose even more money by opening the dome to only 3,000 fans. Well, New Orleans can't afford to lose any more money, right?
That's why the Saints are trying to play games in the Superdome opposed to Baton Rouge. Even 3,000 fans, if you can get some of these downtown businesses
to help the local economy.
Yeah.
And what I mean by local in the metropolitan area.
Some fannies in there, whether it's at a limited capacity or not, I'm sure that these business owners down and around the Superdome would love to have, even if they get 50 more people in there than, or 20 more people walk in their door than what they have currently, they'd welcome it. And it'd be a good shot in the arm for them. There are restaurants that, look, when we do get back to normal, maybe by next season, those that are tailgating down around the dome or have a favorite watering hole close to the dome for their tailgating endeavors, they may not be there.
You know, Christian, and fans do make a difference. And I don't want to make light of this, but if you're a professional and you look how well certain teams are playing and where they're at and, you know, dealing with COVID. And this text is, let me see, it's from 3580. Hey, guys, do you think having no fans in a stadium, the reason Saints are playing not up to par, basically he says horrible. I don't think they're playing horrible, but not up to par. Do they need fan noise to get motivated? To me, that's an immature NFL football player. If you need the fans to motivate you, come on, you hit the lottery. You're playing in the National Football League. You should be self-motivated. But I guess some individuals aren't because you know what? You're constantly being evaluated. Everything's filmed. Every day you go out to practice and you're competing and you're going head-to-head. I mean, to me, so that's an excuse. Oh, the team's not playing as well because they don't have fans. That's a cop-out.
Seattle's 5-0 with three home games. They haven't had fans in the stands.
So why are the Seahawks motivated? Why is Russell Wilson motivated? So to me, that's a cop-out. No, fans can help, without a doubt, but you can't use that, I would play better if we had more fans. What? Come on, be a pro.
All right, our mortgage financial talk and text lines are open at 504-260-1870. Phased and deliberate approach to returning the Houdat Nation to the Superdome, according to an announcement from the Saints. It's online for you at WWL.com to get the details. And here's the other thing about how they're going to determine the 3,000 fans. The Saints are working through that right now, and they're going to disseminate a season ticket holder letter and email notifying what the approach will be. So if you are a season ticket holder, keep an eye out on that. This is Sports Talk here on WWL.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.